question that often arises for Pesach is whether an Ashkenazi who doesn't eat kitniot is allowed to eat in the home of a Sephardi who does. And this is a particularly relevant question for men who are married to Sephardi women. They want to be able to eat in their in-laws' homes over Pesach. The first question is, can they eat the kitniot? And the second question is, even if they can't eat the kitniot, are they allowed to eat food which has been cooked in pots and pans that have previously been used for the preparation of rice and the like? That's, can they use the same kalim at the table, etc., etc.? So it's quite clear from the poskim that, except under the most extenuating circumstances, an Ashkenazi is not permitted to eat kitniot on Pesach. There are tshuvot which discuss the circumstances under which an ill person can eat kitniot. That's also tshuvot which discuss in cases of war and famine and the like, where regular Pesachic foods are not available, that's whether or not kitniot can be eaten. That's indeed some people have asked me this year, perhaps they could eat kitniot because regular substitutes aren't available. But essentially, the poskim mentioned that, you know, if potatoes are available, then you can eat potatoes instead of rice, so it shouldn't be necessary. So in any event, the relationship between a person and their in-laws should usually be cordial enough that strong, well-established minhagim, like not eating kitniot on Pesach, shouldn't cause too much inconvenience and dissent within a family. So as far as the eating the kitniot is concerned, the maskan of the poskim is that one can't. But what about the kalim? And that's a slightly different discussion, partly because, you know, a kitchen which is used to serving rice, they might be happy enough to serve potatoes for a few of the guests instead. But it would be a matter of great inconvenience and possibly expense also if they had to have special non-kitniot pots and pans that they were going to serve to their son-in-law with for Pesach. So Rav Avadi Yosef has a tshuva on this in Yechaveh Da'at, Chelek Hay, Simon Lamed Bet. He addresses this question and he reaches a lenient conclusion for three reasons. So his first consideration is that the Ramah, who is the one who champions the minhag of not eating kitniot, and the Ramah says, Nagu lahachmir ba'ashkenaz v'lo l'shanot, v'ein l'shanot, the minhag is to be machmir for Ashkenazim, and one shouldn't change that practice. Nevertheless, the Ramah himself holds that if rice or other kitniot were to be mixed in with other foods, then certainly it would become batel, it would become insignificant. And even though chametz normally never becomes batel on Pesach, this isn't regular chametz, and it becomes nullified and insignificant. And the Mishnah Brura and other Achronim point out that, in actual fact, we're very lenient about this type of bittul, because we don't even require their 60 times as much non-kitniot as kitniot. We say batel barov, that's so long as there's more non-kitniot than kitniot, you can eat it. So food which is cooked in kitniot pans is certainly acceptable for Ashkenazim, because any taste which is absorbed into the pan is certainly batel barov. Even if it's not batel b'shishim, it's batel barov, and therefore there won't be a problem. Certainly b'diavad, if it's been cooked that way, or there's no alternative. Rav Avadia's second consideration is that essentially everybody agrees that kitniot aren't chametz. That's it's clear from the Mishnah, it's clear from the Gemara that they're not chametz, and it's clear from all the Rishonim that kitniot themselves are not chametz. There was only ever a chashash that maybe there'd be a confusion between kitniot and chametz, or maybe chametz grains would get mixed in with the kitniot, etc., etc. Everybody knows that kitniot per se, intrinsically, are not prohibited. So even though we're strict not to eat the kitniot, he maintains there's no need to be so strict as to not eat the invisible tam, the invisible taste of kitniot, which might have been imparted through the kalim. And then Rav Avadia's third consideration is based on a Rama in Yoredeh Siman Samach Dalad Seif Tet, where he talks about chelev, a certain type of fat that which the Bnei Rhinus, the German Jews, used to eat, but everybody else held was a prohibited type of fat. And the Rama says that those who don't accept the leniency of Bnei Rhinus, i.e. everybody else, they have to treat it as being really asur. But there's one leniency in that we don't regard the kalim, the pots and pans of the Bnei Rhinus, as being prohibited. Why? Because they have a good halachic tradition to rely on. It's not just they're being cavalier about something, but they have a halachic tradition that this is not chelev, and therefore they can eat it, and therefore we accept the kashrut of their kalim. So Rav Avadia knows there are dissenters to this understanding of the Rama, but he thinks this is the correct understanding of the Rama, that something which has a valid halachic tradition to allow it, that, and the people using those kalim are adherents of that halachic tradition, seeing as those kalim are kosher for them, they're kosher for anybody else as well. So Rav Avadia's conclusion is that an Ashkenazi can eat food which is cooked in... non-kidney food which is cooked in pots and pans, even if they're B'nai Yoman, that they had kidney in them, that there is a tshuva of the Maharam Shik where he says that an ill person who's eating kidney should l'chatchila have a special set of pots and pans to cook it in. Rav Avadia seems not to be concerned about that, and certainly if it's going to cause trouble in a person's in-law's home, then certainly one could be lenient and accept the ruling there of Rav Avadia. Ad kan.